If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. The holidays are over, the new year is here, and the time to act is now. Expert private care at Recovery Centers of America will get you on the road to recovery today. At our award-winning and fully accredited treatment centers on the Eastern Shore and in Southern Maryland, you will be treated with compassion, dignity, and respect by our dedicated team of professionals. You will also benefit from specialized programs, 24-hour medical care, and the comfort of our outstanding facilities. Let us help you. We will answer your call 24/7 and can get you into treatment as soon as today. If outpatient care is right for you, you can receive a same-day assessment and attend therapy in person or virtually. And because we accept most private insurance plans, you get premium care without the premium price. Don't wait. Start your new year. Start your new life today. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now. That's 1-888-RECOVERY.
Hello, my name is Anita Mackler. I'm Transfer Pricing Partner based in Budapest, and then I look after the Transfer Pricing Network in CE region. Our network is very diverse, having more than 25 countries in the region. Today in this podcast, together with my colleagues, we would like to share some of our COVID-19 related transfer pricing experiences. We will talk about communications with competent authorities, regional hot topics, how to prepare for a potential transfer pricing audit, or about the difficulties to make benchmarks which could reflect the impact of the pandemic. Let me introduce my colleagues. I have with me Natalia Prihoda from Czech Republic, Daniela Dinu from Romania, Sebastian Lepta from Poland, and Andrew Joshi from Russia. First questions to you, Natalia. Are there any guidelines published by the local authorities on how taxpayers should approach their intercompany pricing in 2020 because of the COVID-19 outbreak?
Thank you, Anita, for the question. Currently, no formal local guidelines have been published in any CE country. But the tax authorities in some countries indicated that they accept and will follow the OECD guidance published in December 2020, since their transfer pricing laws generally follow the OECD guidelines. This is the case of the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, Romania, Slovakia. In many countries, tax authorities have already shared their views during transfer pricing forums, webinars, or APA negotiations. Interesting fact is that in Hungary, tax authorities posted Q&A on transfer pricing related to COVID-19, which is available on their website. Also in Poland, Transfer Pricing Forum is working on recommendations regarding the impact of COVID-19. And in Czechia, we expect translation of the OECD guidance along with some commentary at the end of Q1 2021.
What are the key messages of these formal and informal communications?
The key message from the tax authorities is that they will consider the situation of each taxpayer on a case-by-case basis, as they will try to assess the pandemic impact and potential approaches to transfer pricing in 2020 or 2021. As an example of specific messages, the Czech tax authorities are skeptical about losses of limited risk entities due to COVID situation in 2020. They also indicated that they would probably not accept one-off adjustments to benchmarks that would try to reflect the COVID impacts. And if any adjustments are performed, then they will need to be done in the opposite direction for the post-COVID periods. On another hand, for example, the Hungarian tax authorities indicated that there can be room for comparability adjustments in line with OECD transfer pricing guidelines, and under certain conditions, loss-making companies can be accepted in the benchmarking studies. At the end of the day, for many countries, the APA regime, you know, APA is Advanced Pricing Agreement, an APA regime is still available as a potential solution, either in the form of a new APA or extension of existing APAs, And some tax authorities are actually encouraging taxpayers to discuss the impact of COVID-19 during the APAs.
Are there any specific recommendations for typical function and risk profiles of companies?
It is not possible to summarize any specific guidance on functional risk profiles. Many countries indicated that this question, again, will be solved on a case-by-case basis and no unified approach is expected. For example, the Czech Republic, Russia. What we know is that the Czech and Polish tax authorities indicated that in case of limited risk entities, such as contract manufacturers or limited risk distributors, they would still require certain routine profitability, as the COVID-related risks, according to them, should be borne by the principal company, which typically controls the relevant risks. At the same time, local losses may occur temporarily in the short term and still be arm's length, as you know, according to the OECD transfer pricing guidelines. So based on the discussions with the Czech tax authorities, we expect that the short-term losses of limited risk entities would be accepted if caused by COVID-related costs, which are connected to the functions performed and risks assumed by the local entity, and at the same time are properly explained and documented.
Thank you so much, Natalia. And now I turn to Daniela. Daniela, what are the main transfer pricing COVID-19 related issues in CE today?
Thank you, Anita. When we look at the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic in our CE region, the main issues from a transfer pricing perspective basically relate to four areas. The first one, it is the impact on the supply chain, which might translate into changes in functions and risks for companies in the CE. Second one is the impact on the transfer pricing outcomes reported in our region. Third one, it is the impact on the existing business models. And the last one, it is the impact on the liquidity and the cash optimization. So if we look at the CE region in terms of impact on the supply chain, in most of the countries so far, the disruption didn't bring major changes in the functional and risk profiles of CE subsidiaries, at least not for the moment. However, there are certain exceptions for specific industries that were mostly affected by the pandemic, such as the automotive one, tourism, aviation, retail and consumer, where, for example, limited risk entities had to temporarily shut down their activities and therefore certain shifts in functions and risks took place within those kind of entities. On the other hand, as regards the impact on the transfer pricing outcomes, many countries in the region are concerned that because of the pandemic, entities in CE might be faced with recurring operating losses, as well as extraordinary or exceptional type of expenses generated by the current economic context. We know, for instance, that in Hungary, more emphasis would be placed on the risks controlled by local entities. For example, considering a limited risk entity that, despite its limited risk profile, still it makes some decisions locally. And then question is whether the losses that originates from the corresponding risk should also be borne locally or not. So there is, not only in Hungary, but also in other countries in our CE region, there is a need to consider the option of performing transfer pricing adjustments and also to look at the intercompany agreements and see whether any changes are required to be implemented in order to reflect the new business realities or the new transfer pricing policies that need to be put in place. So all in all, I would say that overall at CE level, there is a real concern regarding potential controversies that might arise in future transfer pricing audits. And on top of that, there is also the uncertainty coming from the fact that, as Natalia was also mentioning earlier, there is no to very limited guidance developed by the local authorities with respect to the impact of the COVID-19.
And tell me, what is your experience regarding change in business models due to the pandemic?
Actually, Anita, so far not many changes have been observed in the existing business models of companies operating in our CE region. And the reason is the fact that most entities in our region operate under limited risk structures. However, there are a number of countries like Romania, Poland, Hungary, Serbia as well, that do expect to see an impact going forward on the existing business models, especially because of the potential losses, which might prove difficult to be only sustained at central level. So yes, in this context, rather more decentralized business models might need to be considered going forward, of course, depending on the actual allocation of functions and risks across the value chain.
What is the impact of COVID-19 on liquidity and financial transactions for businesses?
Here, what we see is that cash flow optimization is becoming a critical factor in our CE region. We see that in several territories like Romania, like Bulgaria, certain entities have already introduced cash pooling arrangements or new intercompany financing arrangements in order to secure their financial liquidity during the pandemic time. While in other countries such as Russia, Poland or Hungary, the new market conditions have required companies to revisit existing financing structures in order to consider the impact on the interest rates or on the credit ratings. So basically, the effects of the pandemic requires entity in our CE region to re-examine financial arrangements that are already in place, to properly document such arrangements, and also to look whether and check whether new comparable searches have to be conducted.
Thank you very much, Daniela. And now, Sebastian. So, Sebastian, what documents are required as a minimum or recommended to support the impact of COVID-19 from a transfer pricing point of view?
Thank you, Anita, for this question. There are no country-specific guidelines on what kind of minimum documentation should be collected by the taxpayers. However, what we need to remember is that the burden of proof is on the taxpayer. So it is taxpayer who needs to document the impact of the COVID on his business. And therefore, it is recommended to keep some kind of a minimum of evidence, especially the quantitative evidence. And such evidence may include information on the reduction of the revenues, reduction of certain orders, information on extraordinary costs incurred, information on the impact of the COVID on the employees, information as well on the difference between the budgeted numbers and the actual numbers when you look at the profit and loss account. So, I mean, anything that is helpful should be collected. Now, if you look at 2020, we already have had some requests from different tax authorities for example, in Bulgaria, the tax authorities during the year, they requested from the taxpayers to provide information on expected drop of the taxable profit. In Georgia, the tax authorities wanted to understand the thinking process of the taxpayer around the COVID, and they wanted to understand what kind of options realistically available taxpayers were considering. And maybe another case, Hungary, in APA proceedings, there were requests to provide a business plan for 2020 or information on the revenue reduction or profit reduction. So, I mean, basically, there's no specific guidelines, but you have to collect and document based on your internal information, how the COVID had an impact on your business.
Do taxpayers have to provide any COVID-related information for non-transfer pricing purposes?
Yeah, I mean, probably everyone have heard about different governmental support programs, and in these programs, in most of the cases, there was certain information required to be provided, not necessarily to the tax authorities, but to the different authorities. And the pieces of information that have been provided, these were, for example, information on reduction of the revenues, or on the cancelled contracts, on the number of employees affected by the COVID. And I think we really need to remember about all these pieces of information already provided when collecting the evidence. Because obviously, I mean, these documents will also have an impact on how the taxpayer will explain their case.
Will the tax authorities expect that taxpayers collect some financial data to support their intercompany pricing for 2020?
Yes, we expect that because, I mean, as mentioned, it is the taxpayer who needs to document its own business case. And apart from the information that I already mentioned, which are, let's say, internal taxpayers' documents, there is obviously an expectation that the client will prepare a benchmark. As we know, it's not going to be easy when we talk about 2020 because we simply don't have yet the full data for 2020. And therefore, I mean, preparing the benchmarks, even though formally required in many jurisdictions, will be a bit difficult exercise. So there may be a need to use some historical data and make some adjustments. But I mean, as we have heard from Natalia, for example, I mean, the Czech tax authorities are skeptical about the adjustments to the benchmarks. Now, we also hear from Russia, from Lithuania, Latvia, that if such adjustments would be made, they would be reviewed with a particular scrutiny from the tax authorities' side. So, I mean, there may be cases where benchmarks themselves or any adjustments to the benchmarks will be quite difficult. And in these circumstances, the taxpayers will need actually to collect probably some statistical data and maybe some industry indicators to explain the situation.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. And now the closing questions to Andrew. Andrew, my first question has actually two parts. How Russia responds to OECD transfer pricing related recommendations, and how are COVID-19 related risk impacts being identified and controlled by multinationals in your country and in CE?
Let me answer that from a regional basis and then drill into Russia. Yeah. Many businesses operating in CE try to maintain their transfer pricing policies despite the difficult crisis situation. This, however, depends on how the businesses were and how they are being affected by COVID. Predominantly, what we are seeing is that the key issues associated are with a reduction of revenue, whilst fixed costs did not reduce to such an extent in the short term. In my view, it's too early to really see the trend, as the number of cases for 2020 is still limited and being analysed right now. However, the following behaviours can be observed. There are no unified approaches to address COVID-related risks in TP policies for the CE region. The practice is developing, but this is on a case-by-case basis. The options that can be undertaken by multinational groups is also not exhaustive and depends on the country, the specific performance of the entity, the market conditions, etc., and often the diversity and nature of the product portfolio and business segments. Certain multinational groups with managed margin entities, such as LRDs and contract manufacturers, have taken the decision to revise the target margin either to the lower quartile or in some cases to zero for 2020 purposes. With that, it's important to emphasize that in certain territories, the tax authorities have already indicated a reluctance to offer any allowances or to accept loss-making results for tested parties. Russia, which is not an OECD member country, but does have observer status, and has its unique set of transfer pricing rules, has not issued any formal guidance in relation to treatment of COVID-related matters. From the discussions that we've had, we understand that they're expecting results to be like business as usual, and for the tested party results to be supported within relevant ranges. However, they have suggested on an exceptional basis, case by case, specific situations can be taken into account.
Is there a best practice to do benchmarking studies for 2020, taking COVID-19 impacts into considerations?
That certainly is a big challenge, and it's a challenge for all transfer pricing practitioners and our clients globally. What we are seeing is that the availability of data is, of course, driving that. We're trying to test the results in 2020, and we don't have results of independent companies for 2020 at this point in time. That's the fundamental challenge here. But what we are seeing and are working with clients in developing solutions is to consider relevant adjustments or approaches. This includes, for example, looking at the impact of including loss-making companies into the final sets of comparables, which might otherwise be rejected in normal times, developing specific adjustments to the financial results of either the tested party due to the exceptional costs, etc., or to the benchmarking results, perhaps linked to trends in GDP, for example. We've also seen other approaches to documentation and benchmarking, such as splitting a particular financial year, such as 2020, into different segments. For example, the first quarter of 2020, isolating that and looking at the results, because for many countries, there was very much business as usual before COVID had a real impact. Then you have the period from approximately April through to October, where there was a substantial impact of COVID on the results of companies. And so analyze that on a standalone basis. And then look at the end of the year, perhaps the fourth quarter, where in a number of countries, particularly in CEE, there was some element of recovery out of COVID and companies did perform better. So that type of segmented approach is another way of looking at things.
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you all. Thank you, Natalia, Daniela, and Sebastian, for your participation. This is what we plan for this podcast. Thank you for listening, and do not hesitate to contact our experts in the region if you have any questions. Goodbye. Have a good day.
Offer deadline on Oak Street, aisle 3.
Welcome to the housing market. I'm with Redfin, and I'm here to help.
I need to sell my house.
Great. Redfin charges a 1% listing fee when you buy and sell with us, which is more than half off the usual fee, and saves you an average of $8,400.
Oh, wow. Is that all?
Yep.
I'm kidding. You had me at 1%.
Want to win? Sell with Redfin. It's real estate done right.
Bidding war at the offers counter in 5 minutes.
Average savings is Redfin refund plus 1% listing fee. Subject to minimums. Not available in all areas. Learn more at redfin.com.